Blog Talk Radio.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. And people in the street singing songs and they're carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Good evening and welcome to Revolution Radio with Dr. Kate. I'm broadcasting live from the Northern Great Plains where it's pretty warm out here for early spring. A beautiful day driving over here, very sunny. Welcome to our listeners now on the air and those who will be listening later. Thank you for joining in. This is a Saturday night special where we will welcome everyone as usual. I'd like to highlight a couple of events this week on Revolution Radio and talk about the developments in Arizona and some other things. Then I have a Tea Party speech from Jeff Williams, a Continental Congress 2009 delegate from Washington State, who I often feature his show Paradigm Shift here. Going to feature his speech and some music, and then depending on how I feel and if anyone is interested, I think I will try again to begin the broadcast of 5,000 Year Leap by Lee Sklauzen. So anyway, welcome. Good evening to you all. I hope you're well. I want to talk about a couple of things that happened this week. I wrote on my blog, Dr. Kate's View, which you can find on the link on this show, about Arizona's really, thankfully, two great actions that they did in their legislative session. One was the immigration measure, which became law on April 23rd. And, of course, it's drawn the ire of Obama and the White House. And I'm writing a post actually right now on how Obama has very quickly tried to characterize a legitimate law enforcement function of a governor and its state to protect its people from the murders and the drug traffic and its social system from being overloaded. How quickly Obama pulled the race card A couple of things. There were some demonstrations down there that actually called the police, quote, the pigs. I haven't heard that since the 70s and 80s. So I think there's some other kind of influence down there. But let me tell you, here's Arizona Governor Brewer, quote, "We in Arizona have been more than patient waiting for Washington to act," Brewer said after signing the law, "but decades of inaction and misguided policy have created a dangerous and unacceptable situation for its people, and also, hello, Obama, the national security of the United States." Now listen to Obama. Earlier Friday, Obama called the Arizona bill misguided and instructed the Justice Department to examine it to see if it's legal. Hello, Obama is supposed to be enforcing immigration laws. He is not. The states have a right under the Fifth Amendment to do whatever they can. This is also under Article 4, the promise to support a Republican form of government, government for each of the states, and to protect it from invasion. And it's invasion. So here we have Obama basically saying that this is an awful racist action. Obama said that the federal government must enact immigration reform at the national level or leave the door open to, quote, irresponsibility by others, as if Arizona is irresponsible. I'm incensed. I did my graduate work in Arizona. My mother lives there, so I'm kind of incensed about this. Also, this was good work by the governor. By the way, Governor Brewer's predecessor, Janet Napolitano, vetoed two similar bills in the past. So now we know why Obama chose Napolitano for Homeland Security. She favors open borders, and she favors illegal immigration. But now here we go. Here's Obama again. That includes, for example, the recent efforts in Arizona which threaten to undermine basic notions of fairness that we cherish as Americans, as well as the trust between police and their communities that is so crucial to keeping us safe. Hello? Undermine the basic notions of fairness? This is not fairness. As the person in Arizona who sponsored this bill said, it's not about race. So Brewer, I read Brewer's statement. She was aware of the racial profiling possibilities, and she will not permit racial profiling. The bill is not enacted until August or so, and to go through training and so forth. So there's a lot of hype about this. I wanted to highlight that because I think this is a good action. We've been expecting some false flag operations possibly occurring in the Southwest. Did this head that off? Or will the federal government and Obama basically say that Arizona is so racist that's going to require the feds to come in and take over the state? Arizona also is ready to pass legislation that would require the Secretary of State to verify or presidential candidates to submit their eligibility requirements in order to get ballot access in 2012. Obama's furious about that, but he can't say anything, of course, right, because it doesn't matter. But it's very interesting what's going to be happening there, and I wanted to point that out to everyone. So let me pop right over into the chat here, see if anyone's there. Hello, guest, and hello, everyone. I'm ready to play a little music in a bit and then move to Jeff Williams, but I wanted to highlight a couple of other things that happened this week. Reverend James D. Manning was on Revolution Radio on Wednesday night, and Brent Avery of the End Time Mystery was on Revolution Radio on Thursday night. These were two very, very interesting, provocative, and fabulous shows. I encourage you to download them both. Reverend Manning came to talk about the Columbia CIA trial, which is coming up and is critical to continuing to oppose Obama. His plan and paradigm for his work is really, it's a different planning framework. They're going to circle the Columbia campus for 7 days. Remember, Jericho came down in 7 days. He's got some evidence. He needs support there in your prayers. And he believes, as I do, that the volcano and some of the other Earth events that have been happening, signaling a tremendous disruption, and some people see it as retribution. So Brent Avery did as well. So I think there are quite interesting pieces coming up. As I get ready for Jeff Williams, I'm going to play a little song. remember, as we work this liberty, I feel positive, because I think people are waking up on an exponential basis. I think that people are also, at least I know for myself, getting back in touch with spirit, with God, and finding out about how to see our future in a different way. And I don't feel embarrassed to say that, but, you know, it's been a long time for me. And as we work our liberty, remember, this is the right thing. We've been brought to this moment to work on this. So hang on, I'll be right back. Lay your body down.
child, a motherless child, a long way from my home. Singing freedom, 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 freedom. Sometimes I feel just like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm
Richie Havens at Woodstock, a great song. And I'm going to jump into Tea Party Speech by Jeff Williams, Washington State. Common Sense Jeff is his show, and we feature his paradigm shift here. Here we go. I have not listened to this quite yet, so it's the first time. Enjoy.
Hello, thank you all for coming. My name is Jeff Williams, and I am the chairman of the Palouse Liberty Project, and on behalf of our organization, I thank you for coming out today to promote individual rights, limited government, and liberty. Over the past 2 years, and especially the last 12 months, I put a lot of time into this cause, and if there is one thing that energizes me, that keeps me reading or writing or creating a web page or a podcast at 3 in the morning. It's you. I watch people all the time as they develop for themselves that personal understanding for our nation and our founding documents, that understanding that I have personally experienced. And the truth is, I am on the exact same learning curve as you, just a little bit ahead, but I understand that some must lead so that others may follow. It's taken me all across this land. It's been an amazing experience, and I thank you for the privilege from the bottom of my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I love this country. I love the United States of America. I believe we are the greatest nation ever conceived and set into action, and I believe that this nation was ordained by God to be a shining beacon of hope for all mankind. And I believe that if you look at what we have achieved, how far we've come in so short a time, that proverbial 5,000-year leap, that history, true history, not the stories manipulated for any personal or political agenda, bears that out and is, in fact, indisputable. As John Adams said, facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or the dictates of our passion, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. So you'll understand that I take great personal offense when our, or when my political opponents have gone so far out of their way to describe me and others like me as individuals motivated by hate, when nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, we're motivated by love. Love of liberty, love of country, and love of our fellow citizens. But I am inspired by you, by your numbers, by the fact that the more vicious the attacks become, the less you buy the lies. The fact that your insatiable quest for knowledge and truth has led you here today. The fact that the more politically incorrect this movement is described as, the more that you laugh in the face of that absurdity and not only bring yourself to this movement, but also your friends, your family, and your colleagues. There's a saying that I love, which defines political correctness. Political correctness is moral cowardice in the face of truth. And I don't know about you, but I see no cowards here today. And as for me, I'm the poster boy for modern political incorrectness. I am not a summer soldier, and I am not a sunshine patriot. I am here today to inspire you to reach deep inside yourself and help me light the fires of liberty that this nation desperately needs. Lighting those fires of liberty one heart at a time. Because now is not the time for you to be timid. Now is not the time for you to be afraid. And now is not the time for you to cower and wonder what someone is going to think about how bad of a person you are for exercising your right of free speech and offering your opinion. We need tens of millions of leaders who will take this stage and tell the truth. Because quite frankly, if truth is water, our nation is dying of thirst. Years and decades, a century of lies and deceit, that's what we're up against right now. And it's quite possible that we will never get another shot at this. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is cooperating with it." And Thomas Jefferson said, "All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent." My friends, we stand tonight on the threshold of tyranny. Now, I know that that sounds dramatic, but I believe it. I believe it with every fiber of my being, because I cannot think of one thing in my life where our government does not claim some form of regulatory power, powers not granted by the Constitution nor by the people, but it is power they can and will nonetheless use to deprive you and me of our life, liberty, and happiness if they so choose. Benjamin Franklin wrote, "Knowledge is the best security for maintaining our liberties." A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the religion of ignorance that tyranny begins. So let's dump ignorance. Let's flush it right here, and let's talk about our out-of-control, unconstitutional, unlawful federal government. United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 4 states, and I do quote, "The Congress shall assemble at least once in every year." Did you hear anything strange there? Once a year. They had to meet once a year. Why? Because the powers of the Congress are limited in Article 1, Section 8 to 17 clearly defined responsibilities. Not CFL light bulbs, not carbon emissions, not health care. They are all in black and white. We have copies for free. Pick up a copy and read them. The Congress was required to meet once a year because the founders figured there could well be times there was nothing for them to do. And they didn't want them to blow it all off because the whole thing could just fall apart. Now that's what I call limited government. Our founders didn't rely on case law. Our founders didn't parse language in order to determine what the meaning of the word is. They were brief, and they were concise, and they were to a point. And beyond that, they left us other documents to prove their intent. James Madison, father of the Constitution, Federalist 45, he wrote, "The powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. The former will be exercised principally on external objects, such as war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce. The powers reserved to the several states will concern the lives, liberties, and properties of the people and the internal order, improvement, and prosperity." You see, our founding fathers believed in a free market. But in this case, they wanted to build a free market for liberty. If you felt your state government was too oppressive, you could move where it wasn't. State governments were supposed to be incubators of excellence, where the cream could rise to the top and influence all others, rather than the tyranny of the majority imposing their ideas on us, especially ideas that, when examined historically, are predestined to be unsustainable failures. In fact, our founders not only insisted on limited government, they loathed and mistrusted big government. John Adams was indicative of many of the founders when he wrote, "In my many years, I have come to a conclusion that one useless man is a shame, two is a law firm, and three or more is a Congress." And Thomas Jefferson said, and I love this one, "The two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie the second down with the chains of the Constitution so the second will not become the legalized version of the first." So the question is, why do we put up with it? From where does our all-knowing and all-powerful government derive their powers? Where? We the people. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. God grants inalienable rights to us, and government derives their powers from us. We grant government all of its power. And just as the founders so eloquently outlined in the Declaration of Independence, I think it's time to take some of those powers back, especially those we never granted in the first place. It is time to shove our government back inside its constitutional box. Now, earlier I said that we're on the threshold of tyranny. The threshold of tyranny. What does that mean? Government not by the Constitution, nor by the ballot, but by the barrel of a gun. And if you think that's an exaggeration, I suggest you screw around with the IRS, or the DEA, or the FBI, or with BLM, or with Homeland Security. And if you don't believe what I'm saying is true now, I grant you, you will afterwards. And the problem with tyranny is that it's pervasive. It never stops. Jefferson wrote, "The natural progress of things is for liberty to yield and government to gain ground." Today, the government will tell you what private insurance to buy, what limits to carry. It imposes new taxes to discourage behaviors that the government deems as unhealthy. What's next? Trans fats, soda, alcohol, salt. What happened to life, liberty, and property? My body, my property. I get to choose what works best for me, so long as my decisions don't infringe on the rights of others. But not anymore, because our government knows best. And the question I have that you need to ask yourself every day is, are we citizens or are we subjects? I'm a citizen. Now, we have a large number of younger people in the audience today, students from UI and WSU, and I have a couple comments to direct to them. I really want you to think clearly about this. Every single thing that you receive as an entitlement from the government comes with a price. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Everything comes with a price, and that price, whether you realize it or not now, is your liberty. One time I worked for a guy, and I watched this man treat many of his employees very poorly as they outlived their usefulness to him. It was a pattern of behavior that I watched for years. And like the naive idealist I once was, I told myself that would never happen to me, that he would never treat me that way. Not like he treated those other people. And I believed it right up until the point that he did. Winston Churchill said, an appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile hoping it will eat him last. And it's not a great game plan. Government may be taking away from some and giving to others, providing so-called social justice in a manner that you currently agree with. I get that. But with age, a little bit of gray hair, comes wisdom. And what I know that you don't is that sooner or later those tables will turn. And the paradigm that you have established that violating this, that, and the other right of some group of people is okay, so long as the perceived greater good is served, and that is your problem. Because how long do you really think it will be before the person losing their rights is you? How long before something is taken away from you, something you worked hard for, something you enjoy, something that is your right as a sovereign individual? Don't fool yourself. Sooner or later, it will happen, and it will happen to you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these practices are not fine with me, not in my home, and not in my life, not now, not ever. And I will say to all levels of government and all political parties right now that you better learn to live with that fact, or sooner or later, we're going to have a problem. And to the right as well as to the left, I will call you out in this same square at this same microphone in a heartbeat. If you win your elections in November and think that going back to status quo governance is fine and dandy, because it's not. The rules have changed. We are done with the false left-right paradigm. We are done with it. We are finished. Both sides spend a ton of time pointing fingers. I'm done with that garbage. Republican versus Democrat, where has it gotten us? Nowhere. It's gotten us here, to this point today. I'm not interested in right versus left anymore. I'm interested in right versus wrong. And more importantly, I'm interested in right versus wrong doing so within the confines and constraints of the Constitution. I don't care what political party delivers that. I don't. And as a politician, I know we've got a couple that are running here today. If you can't handle that, I hope and I will work to see that your career is short. And if you blatantly defy your oath of office and usurp the Constitution you took an oath to protect and defend, then I hope that you're charged with treason. And I hope that you spend the rest of your miserable life in jail, which is where most of them belong. That's all great. Why are we here? How did we get here? Who's to blame? Who can we point the finger at? You. Me. Blame ourselves. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And our nation has not been vigilant in some time. We have been fat and happy and uninformed and lazy. This past week, part of the hate mail that I've received getting ready for this event, which is wonderful, I received a message on Facebook from a young woman who informed me that she would not be attending this rally because she said that our values just weren't in line with hers. Well, our values were listed clearly on that page. Individual rights, limited government, and liberty. So either she's bought the propaganda and thinks that this event is nothing more than a modern-day Obama-hating Klan rally, which it isn't, or we should all be afraid. John Adams wrote, "A constitution of government once changed from freedom can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever." And there are actually people out there who don't care, who don't share those values, who embrace the totalitarian nanny state and the loss of freedoms that come with it. So that is why we are here today. That's why this Tea Party movement is so important and why we need to keep it going and keep it growing. And even if we only enlighten a dozen people today, every one of you who wakes up and every person you wake up is critically important to our future as a free nation and a free people. We have to wake up. We need to get involved. We need to push back against Washington, D.C., and tell them not only is enough enough, but it's time to get back to running our national government the way that it was intended, not as the self-serving power brokers would have it be. Now, some people will tell you that I'm misguided, that my beliefs regarding the Constitution are outdated and archaic. They'll tell you the Constitution is a living, breathing document, and it was never designed to keep government as limited as it was in 1778. And it may surprise you, I actually agree with that to a certain extent, because James Madison probably never thought about the space program, and maybe some of the founders didn't understand the potential need for a standing army when we face larger, more powerful foes who would love to destroy and enslave our nation. Maybe the founders didn't think through the possible need for a myriad of three-letter agencies, which may have been conceived with the best of intentions, do or did serve some useful purpose, although most have become bloated, wasteful, and totalitarian in nature. Then my answer to this argument is simple. United States Constitution, Article 5. The Constitution was designed to be changed, but it's a difficult process, difficult by design. The founders referred to this in the Declaration when they wrote that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient purposes. But somewhere along the lines, some crafty legislator figured out they could simply usurp the Constitution. They could just pass laws, which should have been amendments, and no one would notice or care, at least not until it was too late. Living, breathing documents. I am having a poker tournament at my house immediately following this rally. Game is Hold'em, starts at 10 p.m., buy-in is $1,000. We're going to be playing with living, breathing rules. Anybody want to come? No takers? Really like to pay down my mortgage before hyperinflation hits. The problem with living, breathing rules is it doesn't matter what cards you hold, every hand is a loser. The truth is there are no rules or laws that are living and breathing or subject to that kind of interpretation. When we outgrow them, we replace them. And if we do not change them, then we must live by them. And when government does not live by them, we have chaos, which is pretty close to what we have now. A legal double standard. Rules that apply to us, but not to them. Programs like health care that we must comply with, but they exempt themselves from. Violations of law that would land us in prison, but are not enforced on those serving in the highest levels of government. So what can we do? A valid criticism of the Tea Party movement is that we often stand around complaining too much and take no action, and ladies and gentlemen, action is long overdue. And somebody accost me over here to the side. What do we do? I'm going to give you a few ideas. First, education. This one is the obvious one. Turn off the television, please. Read. I love it when somebody comes up to me and tells me that after doing some basic reading that the lies of the progressive movement become very transparent. And they see history repeating itself. And they see a majority of what our government does is not authorized by the Constitution. Ding! You just woke up. Hello! I would specifically, again, urge you to read a document that is being served on state and federal legislators in 4 short days called the Articles of Freedom. This document outlines 15 specific ongoing violations of the Constitution and presents remedial instructions to the federal and state government, but more importantly also to you, the people. And you can download a copy of the articles from our website, PalouseLibertyProject.com. Do you know what your constitutional rights really are? Is there anybody that's open or concealed carrying here today? Okay. The rest of you, how many of those people do you think are going to be victims of random crime tonight? Rights and responsibilities. That's what it's all about. And if you understand your rights, you're a lot less likely to allow any person or any government to take those away. Educate yourself. Start paying attention to elections and support only liberty-minded constitutional candidates. Support them financially. Elections aren't cheap. They cost money. Let the parties know that in name only, no longer acceptable. Rout all of them out. Take over the parties. Involve your friends, family, and colleagues. Get them to vote. Hell, drive them to the polling places if you have to. And if your elected officials fail, then legally recall them. Set an example with them. But again, most importantly, educate yourself. Number two, support any and all sovereignty resolutions, but most importantly, those citing the 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. The language of the 10th Amendment is crystal clear. It is unambiguous, and it is blatantly ignored. And when combined with the text of Article 1, Section 8, it is clear just how far off the constitutional tracks that our government has strayed. And I would also urge you to go to a website, 10thAmendmentCenter.com, and read more about the 10th Amendment and sovereignty movements throughout the United States. Item 3, starve the beast. I need to be really clear about this. It is a major violation of federal law for me to even suggest that you not pay your taxes. Oops. I've already spoken critically against the government and violated the Patriot Act in doing so, so I really don't give a crap. Just make sure that maybe send me a nice care package from time to time. Now, if 50 to 100 people do this, they are screwed. They're easy targets. But if you want to see real change, 50 to 100 million people or more, individuals and businesses, just decided to stop sending their taxes to the IRS, ladies and gentlemen, it is an immediate game changer. The paradigm shifts overnight. If you're not quite ready to go there, I'm an employer, and I've said for 15 years that if employees had to write their quarterly or monthly check for their federal withholding taxes, there would be an overnight revolution in this country. In fact, however, people are so asleep on this issue that they actually allow the government to withhold far more than they actually owe. They are thrilled to get a big refund at the end of the year. Am I describing you? If you do this, you are giving the federal government use of your money interest-free for programs and policies you don't agree with. So stop. Of course, it's illegal to purposely underwithhold. The government wouldn't want to trust you with your own money. But do the worksheet. Adjust your withholding so you don't overpay. If you do this, if everyone did this, we could legally and easily take billions in cash away from the federal government. Be smart about it. Set aside some of the extra. Have it in case you need it at the end of the year if you need to pay. But starve the beast. Number four, a national strike. Recently, there has been a lot of talk about a national strike, and I think that it's high time that we join that movement. Conservative and libertarian voters are half or more of this population, and we wield amazing power with our spending habits. If you are a business owner, take the day off. It'll probably save you some money in expenses. If you're a consumer, put your wallet away. Just the fact that we have the power to grind the economy to a halt or even willingly slow it down will get Washington's attention. Don't think that it won't. You have the power of the purse. But the bottom line is, if you don't flex your muscle, the muscle that you have, then you deserve everything and everything big government's going to shove down your throat. It's time to take a stand. Answers? Everybody like the answers? I mean, some of the answers are hard is the problem. But if you want answers, they're here. Fifth, civil disobedience. I know about you. I've never been in jail. Nice police officers surrounding us. Never been in the pokey. Sorry, never done anything wrong. My criminal record is as clear as they come, and I'm proud of that. But I'm ready to break the law and go to jail if it helps save our nation. Our founders pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. What will you pledge? Know what you believe in and take a stand. When the time comes, be there. Overwhelm the system. We must be prepared to undertake peaceful civil disobedience and do it in force. One or two people, they're just going to go to jail. They're going to suffer the wrath of the courts. But 100? 1,000? 10,000? Overwhelm the system. Mahatma Gandhi, there was a sign back here. First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then we win. We are right at the fight stage, folks. I also call upon all members of law enforcement, emergency services personnel, currently serving and honorably discharged veterans of our armed forces to become members of Oath Keepers and support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Your oath is to the Constitution. Defend that oath. Because if the proverbial poop ever hits the fan, we're counting on you. Support groups like the Palouse Liberty Project. Sponsor individuals who are willing to represent you. Maybe between family and work, you truly don't have a lot of expendable time. I get that. If you are truly patriots, it is your responsibility to financially support those of us who can or will. But most important, get outside of your comfort zone and take a risk. Pledge your lives, your fortunes, and your sacred honors. Fight for your liberty and for that of your children. Teach the next generation and never forget that eternal vigilance will forever be required so that our republic never reaches this crossroads again between liberty and tyranny. But for now, it's time to get serious. It's time to fight. If you will not fight for right when you can easily win without bloodshed, if you will not fight when your victory is sure and not too costly, you may come to the moment where you will have to fight with all the odds against you and only a precarious chance of survival. There may even be a worse case. You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves. Winston Churchill. And last, to those of you who think that I'm just some kind of misguided malcontent, an ideologue, to those of you who may be here among us who would sacrifice liberty for temporary safety or prosperity, I'm going to leave you with the words of the great American patriot Sam Adams. And no, he's not just a beer. If you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, then go. Go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands that feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you are our countrymen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. May God bless our republic, the United States of America.
Shut them down. The workers got together and they bought that mill. They're making steel in Pittsburgh still. The family farm down in Indiana. The banks for closing just because they can. And the farmer can't do nothing about another drought. So John and Neil and Willie came and helped them out.
sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Look like nothing's gonna change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. It's 2,000 miles I roam, just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Come on, my baby. Yeah. gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good, gonna make a difference, gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar board, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them? Thank you.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Diamonds on the soles of the 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 shoes. Got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She was physically forgotten, but then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted because I believe you. Wearing your diamonds." And I could say, ooh, as if everybody knows what I'm talking about. As if everybody here would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about diamonds on the soles of the shoes. For his ordinary shoes. She said, "Honey, take me dancing," but they ended up by sleeping in a doorway by the bodegas and the lights on over Broadway, wearing diamonds on the soles of their shoes. And I could say, ooh, everybody you would know what I was talking about. I mean, everybody you would know exactly what I was talking about. I'm talking about the shoes.
kind.